The Mike Lupica Podcast.
We are back now with the great Mike Lupica. He's one of the country's
most prominent
sports.
Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In your face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A billion-dollar industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us again on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today, we will be joined by Billy Beane, one of the transformative front office people in baseball history, obviously played by Brad Pitt in the movie Moneyball, the star of Michael Lewis's huge bestseller Moneyball, and someone who has the lowest payroll in baseball this year, under $70 million, and has his A's in contention for a wild card. But before we get started with Billy, I have to tell you about our amazing partner, Gillette. Every morning I use my Gillette razor, I know when I'm getting a great shave. It's been a consistent part of my daily routine and my dad's for such a long time. My dad used a Gillette, so there was never anything else in our family. My Pro Glide and Fusion Cream give me the close, comfortable shave I'm looking for. Gillette offers a variety of shaving products for every guy. The new Gillette 3 and Gillette 5 razors start at $7.99 and deliver even more options for every guy by offering trusted quality at an affordable price. The Gillette 3 and the Gillette 5 are both available in stores. For guys looking to get Gillette Performance delivered to their door, you can find Gillette 5 at GilletteOnDemand.com. Check it out today. That's GilletteOnDemand.com. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast. We are joined today, and I'm just saying something that I often write about Billy Beane of the Oakland A's. I consider him to be one of the transformative front office people in recent baseball history, not because Michael Lewis wrote a book about him and not because, well, Brad Pitt played him in the movies, because he has the lowest payroll in baseball. And I just checked, and Mr. Beane knows this as well as I do. He is closer to the Yankees now than the Yankees are to the Boston Red Sox in the American League wildcard race. It has been an enjoyable thing watching his baseball team play up to here. Hey, Billy, good morning.
Mike, and thanks for having me on. Thanks for the kind words.
Well, Billy is actually on his way from one place to another, trying to continue to improve the Oakland A's. Billy, we've talked about this a couple of times in the last couple of months for columns I've written for MLB.com. And I said, is this the most fun you've ever had? And you said, well, it's the most fun I've had since 2012. And remind people what happened with your A's 6 years ago.
Yeah, well, the great thing about 2012 was that nobody really noticed us until really the last day, or even the day after the season, because it was in August. I believe we were 13 games out in August, and nobody actually considered us a threat. Forget about the division, but even the wild card. And from that point on, in early August, all the way up literally to the last day of the season, we sort of crept our way in and won the last game of the season against the Rangers, which ultimately delivered the division for us. And so we never spent one day in first place during the entire regular season, which I think is the first time that's ever happened, despite winning the division. So it was kind of the perfect storm because myself and Bob Melvin, we're allowed to sort of fly under the radar. And, it was very free of distractions because the media didn't really notice us till about the last 5 days of the season. So, and this has been somewhat similar, although I think we've made a push a little bit earlier. So we're probably a little more on people's radar than we were in 2012.
We're talking to Billy Beane on the Gillette Hotline. Billy, when you fall off radar, okay, it's like you've completely disappeared. And we talked about this about a week ago. There's suddenly the perception that the A's have been bad for a long time, except the A's haven't been bad for a long time. And since you've been in charge, I think you've made the playoffs 8 different times, but you have one bad season and it's treated like the end of days. And so at least this team Not that people thought that you'd be neck and neck with the Mariners and this close to the Yankees. There were slightly higher expectations for this A's team than there were 6 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, and only because the team 6 years ago was predicted by a pretty famous website to lose, I think, 110 games that year going into the season. So the bar wasn't real high for us comparing it to 2012. I mean, I think there were certainly some people that felt like we had, you know, we were at least a team who was headed in the right direction. You know, we had brought up a couple of young players, Matt Chapman and Matt Olson last year, and played about 500 ball the second half of the season. But nobody really cares, you know, if in the second half of the season you're 15 games under 500 and are playing, you know, 500 balls. So, but I think there were some people who thought, again, that our trend line was going up. It just, I don't think anybody thought it was going up this steeply. And, you know, these guys have, listen, we're a flawed product. I mean, you know, we don't have the classic team in terms of, you know, what you normally consider playoff teams. Our starting pitching is, we've had 12 different starting pitchers. But we do have some things that we do really, really well. We hit homers, we shut down games, we have the lead, and we've got a pretty good defensive team. And so far, that's worked for us.
And we're talking to Billy Beane on the Gillette Hotline. And I think that A's fans know this, and baseball wonks might do this, but fans in general don't know that for the past 2 years, you've got a guy, Chris Davis, who's hit more home runs than anybody in baseball.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And, you know, going to your previous question statement, first of all, you know, we do share a market, and it's a little, it's very unique. It's not like New York where you have two really big teams. I mean, we've got the Giants, who are one of the highest revenue teams in the game, and then you have us across the Bay, who are one of the lowest revenue teams. So we not only fall off the map nationally, sometimes we fall off the map locally. So when guys like Chris Davis do what they do, especially if you're not a team that's contending, people don't notice it. But yeah, I think if you include this year, I believe Chris is on pace to do it. He will have led the entire major leagues in homers, and I believe in Oakland A's history, he's on pace, I think, to have the most home runs in Oakland A's history. And you got to remember some of the guys that have donned this uniform. There's some pretty good power hitters, you know, going back to Jimmy Fox, Reggie Jackson, Canseco, McGuire. So Chris has done some pretty special things. And again, like a lot of things we do, it sits under the radar.
Billy Beane is our guest on the Mike Lubega podcast. More with Billy after this from Untuck It. We'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Untuck It. Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. You know, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Tell me about it. Untuck It makes a casual shirt that's not too long and not too short. It's just right, and I wear them. And not only do they look good, they feel great. Log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code Lupica for 20% off your entire purchase. You can also visit one of Untuck It's over 25 retail locations. I was just at one over in Jersey, across the country. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use promo code Lupica for 20% savings. We're talking to Billy Beane. And Billy, when we last spoke, I asked you the following question, and I was serious about it. Is it cool being an A's fan again? And Mr. Beane knows that one of the last times we spoke, I sent him a picture of myself in my own A's cap. Okay. And you pointed out to me that your team has had the biggest home attendance crowd in the game this year. And in that 3-game series against the Giants, you drew what, over 150,000 fans, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, exactly. And the one thing about you know, this market, you know, listen, a lot of things. You know, A's fans, we got a hardcore group, and when we do start to play well, I mean, it really catches on, and then people will respond. And not only, you know, was it just that crowd, but you know, even going through my history here, I mean, we have really loud, you know, rambunctious crowds. So even though, again, if we're not playing well, we don't necessarily get that type of attendance. When we are playing well, I think our crowds are as unique and probably as supportive as any in any sport. And so, yeah, it's becoming cool again to be an A's fan, which is nice. So listen, when the Bay Area has two good baseball teams, it's a really vibrant sports area, and the Giants, you know, are still in it as well as we are, and it makes for a great summer for both sides of the Bay.
And Billy was telling me the other day that he was watching World Cup soccer and became extremely excited during the Brazil-Belgium match to see a crowd shot. And what did you see in that crowd shot, Billy?
A random ASAT, which is, that's the one thing about us, too. I fortunately get to travel, outside the country quite a bit. And I'll see A's hats in some of the most bizarre places that you'd never expect to. I remember I might have been in Germany exchanging money and a guy had an ace hat on, and I figured at that point we were going to bond and he was going to tell me he was from the Bay Area, but it turned out he had no idea what the hat meant or who it was for, just that he thought it was a cool hat. So I told him it was a baseball team in the States, and you'll see him sometimes in the most random places. And watching the World Cup, I think it was I took a snapshot on the TV and sent it to everybody I could of a guy wearing an ace hat in the Brazil crowd. And a few years ago, I believe it was a Liverpool match, one of the linesmen who was carrying something, he was part of the referee group or something, had an ace hat on during a Premier League match. And I also snapped a picture of that one too. So it's kind of strange where you see ace hats. I mean, Yankees have kind of one of those international brand that is kind of ubiquitous around the world, but when you see an A's hat, outside the country, it actually gets me pretty fired up.
Billy, before we get to Moneyball, but now let me ask you about Moneyball. How did Moneyball change your life? How did it change? I know it changed your profile. I know it changed the A's profile, and I don't think it sucks having Brad Pitt play in the movies. How did it change your life?
It's kind of even hard to answer. I mean, it changed in so many ways. The opportunity, and this is really a credit to Michael. His reach as an author is just so, so broad, and it goes beyond sports. And so, when the book came out, it's still to this day, just some of the people who have reached out as a result of, Michael's work and the opportunity to meet them. It's flattering. It's created tremendous opportunities. And again, it's humbling too, as well. And again, I'd say as much as anything, it goes beyond sports. I mean, I remember when, Robert Rubin, a Treasury Secretary at the time, when the book came out, he had former Treasury Secretary, and sent a letter. And some of the people that would call the office. And so it definitely changed my life, created opportunities I would have never had. And again, it's a credit to Michael and his reach as an author, but it's been, flattering, humbling, and an amazing experience. But I'd like to think also that it kind of keeps you grounded as well. So, as much as anything, I credit Michael as being the reason as much as anything.
Yeah, it's funny. I ran into him one time at MSNBC, and it, for me as a writer, it was like meeting a rock star. Billy, I mean, the reality of your situation is, yes, you are the lowest revenue team, but in this season, you are spending less than a third on baseball players on what the Red Sox are spending. And you joked to me the other day, you said their taxes... their taxes are your payroll.
It's almost true. And that's why, in some sense, we're probably going to have our flaws, no matter how well we do. And listen, the Red Sox are an amazing organization, and a great organization. So when you look at what they're doing, it's not like they're being inefficient either. They're spending a lot, but they're also doing what you're supposed to do when you spend a lot. But yeah, it's a very, very competitive game, particularly in the American League. I mean, I think going into last night or the day before, I believe we had the fifth best record in baseball and would not have made the playoffs. But in general, the game of baseball has just become very, very intelligent. I mean, the people who are running baseball teams are just really, really bright guys. And that extends, 1 through 30, which is why I think from our standpoint, I think we're very proud, that over, 21 years, I guess, the people that have been working with me, that we've been able to sort of recreate and still put competitive teams on the field, despite the fact that, sometimes we have to cycle through it because it's getting really, really challenging, again, because of the intelligent people are running games. Guys, you know, like with the Dodgers, I mean, when you put the brains the Dodgers have with that capital that they have, same with the Houston Astros, the Yankees, it's very, very challenging. So that's why we're especially proud that, you know, we still find a way to at least be relevant in a very competitive business.
Talking to Billy Beane, again, who I consider one of the truly transformative figures in baseball front offices in this time in baseball. Billy, one of my favorite stories of the offseason, and I wrote a column at a time from the point of view of the guy with whom you made the trade, was bringing Stephen Piscotty back to the Bay Area and back to Northern California, and it's the kind of trade that you don't see made in sports. His mother was suffering from ALS and about to die from ALS. And just tell me how that came to be.
Well, you know, initially it started from a baseball interest. You know, I had called John Mozeliak actually last summer. It was almost exactly this time. It was right after the deadline. And number one, because we liked Steven as a player and we thought he was a really good fit for our team going forward. And I said to John, I said, listen, you know, I know we can't do it now, but when the offseason comes, I would really like to discuss Piscotty with you. And at that time, I believe it had just come out, or it was at least people knew, you know, what he was dealing with from a family situation. And John was great. He sort of put it off. He said, listen, yeah, let's address this during the winter. You know, we stayed in contact. And listen, Steve's a good player, number one, so there was interest in him. And John basically, at the end of the day, was going to find a way to get a deal done with us. You know, listen, I thought we gave him some good players, but the fact of the matter is that we sort of had first, you know, right of refusal on acquiring the player, and John and the Cardinals organization did everything they could to facilitate that move. And as it turned out, you know, Steven unfortunately lost his mother during the spring, but had the opportunity to be with her, be with the family. His brother was a baseball player here locally at St. Mary's College. He has two other brothers, or three of them, and his father. And he actually lives just, you know, about 10 minutes from myself here in the Bay Area. And listen, it was pretty tough, as you can imagine. And it actually, Steve, I think it affected him early on, playing-wise. But, you know, sort of segue to where we are now, what's really amazing is, you know, since then, and Steve went through a lot since then, he's just really played tremendous baseball. I mean, he's a really good guy, very, you know, quiet actually by nature, but I think as much as anything, you know, credit goes to the Cardinals for doing something, or at least trying to facilitate something that normally you wouldn't see in professional sports. You know, we're happy to be a part of that.
We are talking with one of the great front office guys of all time in baseball, Billy Beane, on the Mike Lupica podcast. More with Billy after this. But first, a message from Buffalo Wild Wings. A great man once said, baseball is the wing of sports. It didn't really make sense at the time, and it doesn't really make sense now, but we're inclined to agree because baseball is great and wings are great, and you can find both at Buffalo Wild Wings. And because baseball has fly balls and wings can help you fly, well, we don't know. Maybe the man was saying baseball is America's game and wings are America's chicken. Now, that actually makes some sense, but don't dwell on it. The point is Buffalo Wild Wings has baseball. They've got delicious wings. All that's missing is you. Come for the wings, stay for the baseball. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. We're talking to Billy Beane on the Gillette Hotline today. Billy, of your current team, how many guys came to the A's by trade?
Oof. Well, you know, it's funny. You go back, well, I remember in 2000, that 2012 team, and even that group, 12 through 14, I think one or two of the years, only one player had been drafted on that playoff team, and that was Sonny Gray. This year, the two corner guys, Chapman and Olsen, are two guys we drafted. But if you go around the diamond, most of our players were acquired through acquisition.
Right.
And in fact, you know, Trevino, our setup man, was a drafted player. But I would probably say at least probably 19 to 20 of the 25-man roster were players that we traded for. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that we've always been is, listen, for us, that's where we, try and, take advantage of the fact that, we're an analytically driven organization and as much professional data and information we can have, if we can sort of leverage that and swap out, then, we figure that's the quickest way to becoming relevant. I mean, the idea that a team with a payroll our size that's just going to wait, and draft players, it's just going to take too long. And right. So, we've never really, the term rebuild is, something you hear a lot. One thing we've never tried to do is we're hyper-competitive here, and we've never really wanted to accept the fact that, even with a low payroll, that we were just going to punt during the season and give it up. I think as running as a professional sports franchise, you have to, your responsibility is to always trying to win. You may not, you may not have the team to do it, but you should always put, everything you can into winning every baseball game you can. And so we've always done that. And we figured, again, the quickest way to become good again is to make transactions and not just wait for players to come through the minor league system. Because for us, that would just take too long, and I'm not sure I'm patient enough for that.
Talking to Billy Beane. And Billy, the one thing that resonates with me, and you've said it to me and you've said it to other people, when a team performs the way this team is performing and perhaps overperforming, and it's been as good as anybody, I think you still, I don't know what the Rockies series did it, but for 2 months you had the best record in baseball. And you said you have a responsibility to these players to respond to the way they've played baseball this year.
Yeah, and it's something, I kind of learned a little bit from, my mentor, Sandy Alderson, and being next to Sandy for all those years, and it was always, I think it was the approach that he took as a general manager, and it was something, as a former player and being in the locker room when you have a trade deadline, I always realized that, listen, there's a great, if you're playing well and you make transactions at the deadline or it really gives your club a boost. And again, listen, the other flip side of that is as well, as I say, if my club's not playing well, we are going to make moves as well. And so, there's two sides of that coin. And if you're going to move players and they're not playing well, then I think the team deserves that you make moves to improve them if you're playing well. And again, I think it's good. It gives a jolt to the fans. It gives a jolt to the clubhouse. And, over the years, if you look, we've always been really, when we've been in it, we've been very aggressive, and we've always been a really good second half team historically, save for the 2014 team. And so, as a front office, that's something that we take pride in making sure that, we're doing our part as far as, a playoff push is concerned.
We're talking with the great Billy Beane on the Mike Lubica podcast. More with Billy in a minute, but first a word from Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Just switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about a homeowner's or renter's insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. In the East, and especially in the Northeast, we are always obsessed with the Yankees and the Red Sox, and they're having, as we're having this conversation, they began a big four-game series last night, and they play, starting tonight, nine more games across the regular season that will probably decide the American League East. But as you keep pointing out, the team that you're fighting hardest with, okay, but right now for the second wild card, and who the hell knows what's going to happen the rest of the way, you got 10 games left with the Seattle Mariners.
We have 10 games with the Mariners, and we also got we got 3 games with the Yankees too. So they come out to Oakland in September, which is an unusual time for them. But yeah, we have 10 games. The good thing, and I probably shouldn't say this, but we've done a lot of the heavy lifting with our schedule already. I mean, we played a lot of road games, and that's what's also unique about this team. That despite its youth, we've got a better road record than we do even at home, which is really saying something for a young team. That's usually the last thing that comes. But if you look at our schedule going forward, and we just came off a sweep of Toronto at home, which was good to see us play well at home. But if you look at our schedule, we've got a lot of home games going forward. And, again, it's a favorable schedule. Anything can happen. But the good thing is that 10 of those games are with the Mariners. And I believe we got a home and away with Houston. So we've played them twice there and twice at home already. So it's kind of nice to get them off your schedule because they're, as everybody knows, a great, great baseball team.
Billy, if we're talking to Billy Bean on the Gillette Hotline, and he's nice enough to take some time today on his way to a meeting out in Oakland. Billy, if somebody had told you as you were leaving spring training that in the first week of August, your team would have a legitimate shot to be, if not just the second wild card, and it's not conceding anything about the first wild card, and have the chance, you know, coming out of the Astros division to play a one game season in October, it seems to me you would have signed up for that.
No question. And, you know, what we were concerned about leaving spring training, right, we knew we had some things that we did well, and those things we are doing well, but we're myself and Bob and David, of course, were very concerned with was our starting pitching going into the season. Well, as it turned out, that's the starting pitching we were concerned about, all those guys were injured. And we literally lost, I think, the only guy remaining in our starting rotation from who was there at the beginning was Sean Manaea. And since then, we've sort of had to, on the fly, invent a starting rotation. We signed Brett Anderson late in spring training when I ran into him at a health club in Arizona. We signed Trevor
That's
Cahill.
That's true, right? You ran into him at a health club.
That's a true story. Yeah, he had not signed yet, and we'd had Brett, and I'd known him, and he was in good shape, and we needed a pitcher. We signed him and quickly got him out there and got him to AAA and got him, you know, we needed him pretty quickly. Trevor Cahill was a similar story where we signed him at the end of spring. We signed Edwin Jackson as he was a player who had been released, sent him to AAA and needed him. So it's been for an area that we were concerned with, it you couldn't have had a bigger disaster situation, and somehow, you know, we've been able to absorb it and figure out a way to, at least up to this point, to patch together enough starting innings to be where we are. So the short answer is, yeah, I would have taken it, and given what we've gone through, and it is somewhat surprising, but again, it's a credit to Bob Melvin, and it's a credit to really some of the talent of these young players, and again, guys that nobody talks about, guys like Chris Davison, and another guy that nobody talks about is Jed Lowry, who
one of my favorite, Billy. Billy, you're preaching to the choir. I was going to ask you about him. To me, he's in so many ways a consummate Oakland ace. He's been one of my favorite players for a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, he's been a really good player in this league for a long time. He had some, you know, minor injuries that would sort of keep him from playing 162 games in his past, but the last couple of years he's been on the field almost every single day. And as a result, I mean, he's put up some really good numbers. I think, you know, next Altuve, last year you could make the argument he was the best second baseman in the game this side of Altuve. And this year he's doing the same thing. I mean, he's probably going to hit 25 to 30 home runs and probably driving 100 runs as well and hit his 290. Defensively, he's been very, very solid. So, yeah, he's a really underrated player. And you know, we've acquired him, you know, twice. So, you know, we've always liked him. In fact, we saw him a lot at Stanford here. He went to school at Stanford University. And so I've always been a big fan, and our scouting department's been a big fan of ours. And now that we've had him, I think people realize, you know, what a good player he is. And again, he's starting to get the recognition, I think, with the All-Star game. That was the case.
We're talking to Billy Bean, who again is one of the great front office people. I say this all the time, and with no due respect, no lack of respect for the people who get to spend money, I would like to see some of the other people do it on 67 or 68 or 69 million. Billy, it's well documented that you have had opportunities to leave, but when I listen to you talk about Oakland, it just seems to be that the Bay Area, that part of this country just seems to suit you.
You know, first of all, it's an amazing time to be in the Bay Area, even beyond sports. I mean, well, first of all, from a sporting standpoint, arguably the greatest basketball team of all time is you know, housed here right now, which is, that's exciting from a sporting standpoint. But when you think about all the innovation, all the companies that are, you know, in the Bay Area right now, you got Stanford, you got Cal that's feeding these amazing companies. It's almost, I think I've said it, it's almost like being in Florence in the Renaissance age. You know, this is a special place in a special time. And it's really neat to just be a part of it, this area. And listen, I grew up in California. I was a Southern California kid, but being in Northern California is almost as good. And I feel fortunate at this time in history to be a part of this area. And it's an amazing, amazing place to live.
All right, Billy Beane is about to walk into a meeting, but I can't let you go without having the rock and roll conversation that we have all the time. And I just would like you to tell everybody who listens to this podcast the rock groups that you compare yourself and your baseball team to.
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing about the A's, we've always been a little edgy, and always, you know, our footprint maybe, and I'd like to think that, you know, the influence that even going back to Charlie Finley and then Sandy Alderson and Tony La Russa, I've always felt like the franchise has had a bigger influence, maybe than most its size. And I sort of made the joke years ago, you know, needling the Giants, that if the Giants fans were BG fans, but if you're an A's fan, you probably were a fan of the Velvet Underground. You know, they didn't sell as many records, but they probably influenced as many bands as anybody in history, along with the Ramones, who are also kind of synonymous with the A's as well. So I always thought there was a real cool edge about our baseball team. And again, in comparing it to rock and roll bands, I always thought that we were the Velvet Underground or the Ramones of baseball.
Billy Beane, thank you so much for doing this. I told Billy a couple weeks ago, he can't accuse me of jumping on the bandwagon because I was writing about his team back in May. I am rooting for you the rest of the way. At the very least, I want to see you in that wild card game in October. Hey, man, good luck the rest of the way.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Mike. And yeah, I hope to see you in New York then. We'll cross our fingers.
All right. Billy Beane, again, one of the great front office people of all time. This is the kind of conversation we have every single week on this podcast. It's why these numbers continue to grow. It's why we have the sponsors we have. So please continue to download. Please continue to subscribe. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.